Hello and welcome to the next episode of Sug Sound.
Hello and welcome to this special bonus episode of Sug Sound with your host Hugo Sug. Today it is Sunday the 5th of August. And I'm back with Johnny Ross from yesterday's episode. Hello, Johnny.
Hi there, Hugo. Thanks for inviting me back on.
And the reason why we've come together today, on Sunday, is Labour's anti-Semitism row has hit a new wave of momentum today. Talk about Labour puns, momentum. Today, at 12 minutes past 12 this afternoon, Jeremy Corbyn published on Twitter a 3-minute video saying, with a headline, "There is no place for anti-Semitism in the Labour Party. We must drive it out of our movement for good." Now, this has come after weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and months of a row that has embroiled the Labour Party into a crisis. We will talk about Corbyn's message. We'll also talk about Ken Livingstone. And we'll talk about the explosive Tom Watson article as well. Johnny, what do you think to this video, first of all? Have you watched it?
I have watched this video. To me, it's just yet again plain words from Jeremy Corbyn saying, you know what, anti-Semitism is plaguing our party. And he said that for years. Where is the action he's put in? He can dish the dirt out on him. Well, he can claim he's dishing the members. Where is the dirt on his members? I've not seen any disciplinary action on members such as Mark Wadsworth, who, in many Jewish people like me, I'm a Jew, in many Jewish people, we brand Mark Wadsworth as a racist. And if Jeremy Corbyn wants to win hearts, well, he probably won't, of his past experience, but if Jeremy Corbyn wants to win hearts, and the Labour Party wants to win hearts of the Jewish community again, Jeremy Corbyn must stop sharing platforms with racist, anti-Semitic organisations. Otherwise, he will just make the Labour Party toast. The Labour Party could actually split, and in my opinion, a new party must be formed.
So you think Labour have gone way too far with this, and are effectively unelectable as they are at the moment?
There is no way on earth I see them as electable. They've just made themselves rot. And for a Tory, I mean, even just saying if the Conservatives do follow in the steps of Labour, which they undoubtedly won't, and sadly, you need an alternative in politics, and sadly, the Labour Party is not giving an alternative whatsoever to people. It's not a Labour Party anymore. It's basically a Communist Party, a Marxist Party, a Trotskyist Party, you name it, from all corners of the far left. The Labour Party is being taken over by racists, and I feel for the genuine members trying to combat anti-Semitism out of their party. I salute you.
So it's...
You're doing a good...
Okay, so what you've just touched on something really interesting there, which is you don't think Labour are electable again, and that anti-Semitism has made them unelectable, and there should be a split. On, I think it was Thursday evening, as I said, we're recording this on Sunday, but on Thursday evening, there was a huge Twitter campaign, hashtag We Are Corbyn, and it hit number 3 trending in the world, not just in the UK but in the world on Twitter. Now, I I'm looking at this from a devil's advocate point of view. You say the Labour Party is probably unelectable, but over 250,000 messages, tweets, went out on Thursday night supporting Jeremy Corbyn. Now, I'm not saying 250,000 people and 250,000 tweets are going to get him elected. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is there is obviously a very, very broad support for Jeremy Corbyn on the left of politics, who actually count this as a smear, the whole anti-Semitism row. Now, it's interesting because Corbyn, in his video today, came out and said, quote, "Anyone who denies that this has surfaced within our party is clearly actually wrong and contributing to the problem," end quote. So it's interesting because I think Jeremy Corbyn has a chance of being elected at the next election. Whether I want that or not is a different matter, and I don't. But it's how far this anti-Semitism row will keep boiling under the surface before it eventually explodes. And I think the melting pot is near boiling point. But what do you think to the We Are Corbyn supporters who came out in their hundreds of thousands on Thursday night? This is before Jeremy Corbyn's video.
Well, these We Are Corbyn supporters treat Jeremy Corbyn like God. And the reason why is because obviously they will agree with his far left views. But what I will say to these people are, look, if you want, I don't know why on earth you're saying this is a smear campaign. If you want to actually use some common sense for once, go back at what he's done, go back at the platforms he's shared at, and then you'll realise, hopefully, if you've got brain cells, if these people have got brain cells, hopefully these people can realise that Corbyn may, this has been a catchphrase said by many, Corbyn is probably for the many, but not the Jews. It's a common phrase been said, and these We Are Corbyn supporters, look at what he's done in the past, look at the platforms, the platforms he's shared with, and you'll see, and hopefully that hashtag can be rephrased, we hate Corbyn.
I mean, yeah, there's a counter hashtag, which is We Are Not Corbyn. You mentioned We Are Many and Not the Jew. On Twitter, I've been very, very vocal about this in the last week, 2 weeks, to the point where I've actually lost some followers because of it. I use that hashtag quite often, for the many and not the Jew. But is that hashtag not anti-Semitic or verging on anti-Semitic in itself?
It's not, because it's Jewish people showing that we hate Corbyn. Look, the things Corbyn has done in the Labour Party so far, and the things Corbyn, if he would do in government, would just be a total mess for Jews. It would just make Jewish people's lives a catastrophe. And they are voicing out concern, and they should have their right to.
Okay, what about non-Jewish people using it, like me?
About non-Jewish people?
Using the hashtag for the many and not the Jew.
Exactly, and also non-Jewish people should have their right to say what they feel as well. And why shouldn't they? Because it's not just Jews who are also experiencing this pain and this anti-Semitism problem. It's also a problem which may go far beyond anti-Semitism. And what is also a shame is that people who are trying to combat anti-Semitism in the party are the ones who are being troubled at. And why on earth are these, I mean, MPs, if you saw, was it Tuesday, Margaret Hodge, who said that Corbyn is an effing anti-Semite. And, you know what, good on her. But unfortunately, it's the far left Labour National Executive Committee who think, you know what, Corbyn is our god. We cannot let an MP like Margaret Hodge disrespect him. And you know what? So what? Let's discipline her for the sake of disciplining her. And sadly, good people like her should not be disciplined.
I happen to agree with you there. Do you think, you said it just then, it's not just Jews who are affected by this. Do you think what Jeremy Corbyn's lack of action and the NEC's and Labour's lack of action shows is a general acceptance for discrimination in all its forms in the Labour Party? I mean, for one, they, and I, moving on to a different topic quite quickly, they haven't had a female leader, elected leader. They've had fill-ins, but they've not had a female elected leader. Now, some say that's discrimination. Labour hold all women shortlists, especially my seat of Hackney, in the two constituencies in Hackney, Hackney North and Stoke Newington, Diane Abbott's seat, Hackney South and Shoreditch, Meg Hillier's seat. They hold all women shortlists. Diane Abbott, there hasn't been a candidate selection in Hackney North and Stoke Newington since Diane Abbott was elected in the 80s. The Labour Party haven't gone to another candidate selection process.
Well, that basically shows that, again, far left, well, actually, there is a good thing in it, is that, look, Diane Abbott and Meg Hillier, for example, are the incumbent MPs. Why shouldn't they be able to be re-selected themselves? But in terms, you know what, there is also a good side in having selection processes to essentially challenge, for example, to challenge Diane Abbott and Meg Hillier to a selection process, and ideally that's good for democracy because it shows we've democratically reselected Diane or Meg through
a process of party members as well. It's not just for the sake of MPs. It's also for the sake of the supporters of that party in those constituencies, and all women shortlists. Are not just confined to London, and they're not just confined to Hackney, just to make that point for the purpose of a podcast. But okay, so back to Corbyn then. So do you think that do you think the Labour Party under Corbyn since he was elected has allowed rampant discrimination and open discrimination against members from all different communities, backgrounds, faiths and religions?
I think we know what the answer is going to be, and that's a definite yes. I mean, I'm going to mention it. If the NEC are not disciplining these people for smearing on people, then obviously, they're allowing in racists and anti-Semites, and yeah, they're basically allowing people who try to divide us in society. And I just can't see the Labour Party being electable if they're going to allow people who do this in society to do what they want in terms of being anti-Semitic, and as I said, if they're gonna allow people into the party, then I can't see it being electable as well.
Okay, now this is breaking news while we're recording this podcast. The hashtag Resign Watson, Resign Tom Watson, the deputy leader of the Labour Party, has hit number one trending in the UK. At 9 o'clock on Sunday evening, it's at 62,400 tweets. Lots of people, including Wes Streeting, MP, tweeting about hashtag resign Watson. It's important to note Wes Streeting is not wanting Tom to go. Johnny, there's a established campaign since Watson's article, which came out this morning, Sunday morning. Watson basically says he wants meaningful action against racism, lest there be a Labour fall into, I can't quite remember the quote, but a cesspit of unelectability or something like that. He uses the word cesspit. What do you think of this quite established social media campaign which is trying to get Tom Watson to resign?
Well, first of all, Tom Watson shouldn't resign if he's going to be a party member and deputy leader himself who wants to combat anti-Semitism. Good on him, because as we've said earlier, the Labour Party over the years have been plagued by this. They can't see themselves being into government if this is going to embroil on from time to time. And these people who are asking him to resign, you must be clueless and shameful of yourself. This is a man, along with other innocent MPs and members of the Labour Party, trying to combat a plague in the party. And if people like you, who are asking a decent man in Tom, this is the first time I've ever said Tom Watson is decent, but a decent man in Tom Watson to resign. If you're going to ask Tom Watson to resign, then you're bringing shame on your name. It clearly shows Labour Party members and people across the far left spectrum clearly think, you know what, this is just utter rubbish, forget about it, and let's get Tom Watson out. You know what, you bring shame on yourself, and you're just adding the hole of reasons why the Labour Party is not going to get elected into government.
I completely agree, and I think it shows a huge amount of contempt of Labour members to call for their deputy leader to resign just because he says anti-Semitism and racism should be stamped out from the party. Completely. Now, Tom actually has, I'm just looking on Twitter now, Tom's actually responded at 7:09 this Sunday evening with a tweet saying, "It sometimes feels like people have been calling for me to stand down from day one, but I never ever thought I'd be facing demands to hashtag resign Watson for standing up for people who are facing prejudice and hate." I think that's quite a statement to all party members who are trying to get him to resign, to basically back off or resign from a party, getting them to kind of leave. It's from what I can gather from that tweet, Tom Watson's almost saying, you don't like it, you don't like me wanting to stamp out anti-Semitism and racism. There's no place for you in this party, let alone anti-Semites. There's no place for you. It's a very interesting...
I totally agree with him word on what he said. Again, another party member and the deputy leader even saying, you know what, back off of me. I've been deputy leader, I've faced calls to stand down since day one, but I'm a man, I'm a member who wants to combat the problems in this party and make this party electable. If you're just going to be someone in the way of doing that, then shoo. And you know what? Good on Tom Watson, I'm saying that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not Labour Party's biggest supporter. I'm not Tom Watson's biggest supporter. I don't agree. I don't think he's a miserable pipsqueak of a man, like he said in Parliament one time. But I think fair play to Tom Watson for actually kind of standing up and saying, well, you know, I'm only trying to make our party electable. It's interesting, the divide between the far left and the, I guess, the old Blairites, the centre left. Since Corbyn was elected, that has got wider and wider and wider. It's interesting how you've got very, very polarised people in the Labour Party now. And every political party is a broad church, and every political party has its factions. But this one is very clear, especially on social media, in the Labour Party, between the very far left of Jeremy Corbyn supporters and the old school kind of Blairite, more to the centre realms of a party.
I mean, what I will say here is, if the Labour Party wants to win an election, it needs to appeal to all. And David Cameron, when he won the general election in 2015, he mainly focused it on a central policy. And I think that's why Blair won his landslide in 97, was because the Labour Party back then was not full of far-left cronies from whatever minor parties who basically thought we need a left government because that's what's best for us. That's what happened when Gordon Brown sold off the bank in Iceland. And it's a typical common thing of socialism, but the Labour Party appealed to everyone when it first was elected in 97, and it wasn't plagued by problems like it is today. And if you have centrist policies, which you're going to basically base your manifesto on, then you're going to find yourself in a place where you're going to be electable. And I mean, if I was a Labour Party member, probably back then in Blair's years, I would probably vote Labour.
I mean, it is interesting that they came, they came quite stomping second in the 2017 general election behind the Conservatives. I would slightly disagree with you there and say, I think far left, as much as it might not be great for the country, I think there is a appetite in the electorate, on the left anyway.
Well, of course there's going to be an appetite on the electorate for the left.
For a Corbyn-led far left government.
Well, because they've obviously, most of the people who are far left obviously think, you know, socialism's great if they look from other places where they have socialist-controlled countries, and they obviously think it's good, but sadly what they don't realise is that most of the majority of what socialism does for us is bad. And if they want to go on a manifesto where it's very socialist-based, then do that. But what I'm warning you is, you always win in the, I think it's, if they learn from David Cameron, I think you always win an election on, I'm not trying to be biased here, but I think you always win an election on centrist values, because it's centrist values appeal to all. And if the Labour Party want to appeal to all, centrist policies are your way, not socialist policies.
Indeed, I think I agree with you there. Really quickly, before we wind up this podcast, and it's been great. It's been I love having debates.
If
Tom Watson does resign, and it doesn't look like he will, but if Tom Watson does resign, under a mountain of pressure from his party members and others, and possible MPs, we don't know. I mean, Wes Streeting, from what I can see, is the first MP to use a hashtag and condemn the hashtag. What if Tom Watson resigns? Where do you think the Labour Party are going to go? Where aren't they going to go?
Well, if
Tom Watson does resign in the next few days?
If Tom Watson does resign in the end, I think it would just bring shame again. Labour's whole of problems is just going to grow, because Tom Watson is one of the very few probably centrist he's one of the very few Labour MPs when it comes to anti-Semitism who talks sense, and he's a man who looks like he wants to condemn anti-Semitism in all ways. And if he does resign, I think it's just going to get the Labour Party into more problems. More centrist Labour members are going to leave. And what can I say? Is the Labour Party is just going to get even more far left.
Yeah. Well, it's safe to say the Labour Party are in a bit of a pickle.
I'd say more than a pickle. Far more than a pickle.
Well, I'm trying to think of a reference there which is relevant in terms of food. But, well, this has been a interesting debate.
Of course it has been. Go on. Yeah, go on.
Just lastly, before we leave, there is a poll on Twitter. I've just scanned through it, and at the time of me saying this, it only has 155 votes. But just touching on what I said, Twitter user @Michael_557 has put out a poll saying who should become deputy leader of the Labour Party if Tom Watson were to resign. Emily Thornberry is leading on 66%. Laura Pidcock is leading on 19%. Rebecca Long Bailey is leading on 8%, and Richard Burjon is leading on 7%. Interesting. I'm going to retweet that.
I think a person who I would pick from that list is basically no one. Richard Burjon just basically is such a negative man, he won't even say anything positive whatsoever. Rebecca Long Bailey is another one of those socialist MPs who basically can talk bollocks about the... I may sound rude, but... She can talk bollocks about the government when she's lying on Twitter. Emily Thornberry, who is just literally Corbyn 2.0, a woman who is sharing platforms with
commentators
groups, yeah. and Laura Pidcock, who is a woman who won't even be friends with a Tory. When you're even deputy leader, you have to work with every party. And Laura Pidcock famously said, "I wouldn't even be friends with a Tory." If you're not going to be friends with a Tory, then you can't be a deputy leader, because being a deputy leader is basically working with everyone. When it's no one from your circle, you must work with everyone. When you're a leader of deputy leader, and Laura Pidcock can no way be a deputy leader. I think if I were to pick a deputy leader from Labour, I would probably pick John Mann. John Mann's been an experienced MP. He's a guy who wants to combat anti-Semitism, who famously scurried onto Ken Livingstone on live TV, and he's a man who wants to basically get rid of this plague in Labour. And
sorry.
So if Labour want a sensible deputy leader, they should go for John Mann, in my opinion.
I just while you were saying that, I was just reading through some of the comments on the poll, and someone has put on this poll, and I've retweeted the poll, so you can look at it at HugoSug on Twitter. Someone put, I'm not sure. I voted for Tom Watson, but now I'm tweeting hashtag resign Watson. So perhaps I'm not a good judge of who would make a good deputy leader. It's just a... I just find that quite ironic and funny. And I think we will leave it there. Johnny, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for coming back on a Sunday evening. The day after,
of course,
our podcast yesterday, and to talk about the crunch of Labour anti-Semitism, and maybe we can touch base next week and talk about what's happened from tonight to the next time we do a podcast, and who knows, Tom Watson might actually not be deputy leader of the Labour Party, or, you know, could be deputy leader of the Labour Party. Jeremy, Corbin might be displaced. It's 2018. I don't think any of us know. Thank you very much, Johnny.
Absolute pleasure, Hugo. Anytime.
And this has been a Sug Sound production. Remember to follow Johnny on his Twitter at JohnnyRoss05, my Twitter at HugoSug, and use the hashtag SugSound. Please do like, share, subscribe on your favourite podcast provider, and we will speak to you and hear from you soon. Thanks so much, listeners. Hello, SugSound listeners. Thank you very much for listening to this bonus episode, number two of our relaunch week, discussing the issue of Labour anti-Semitism. Now, I'm very conscious that Johnny and I are both on the right of politics, and we haven't actually had any Labour Party member or supporter on the podcast to defend the party or their stance. And I would like to very much welcome you on if you are willing to come on. Please do tweet me at HugoSug and use the hashtag SugSound, and we will set up a time for you to come on this podcast so you can defend the Labour Party, or not defend the Labour Party as it may be, and for you to give us a bit of a balance to this argument. So please, if you are a Labour Party supporter or member and want to come on this podcast, please do tweet me at HugoSug.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.